Welcome to the From the Field broadcast. It is my hope and prayer that God will use this message to touch your heart. Thank you for listening. May God bless.
Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 10. The second epistle to the Corinthian church. And Paul is, he's actually been put on the stand, so to speak. They have questioned his apostleship, and the church has been in all sorts of trouble and sin. And it's amazing how that their mind, Paul said in one instance, chapter, I believe it's 10, where he believed that he was fearful because of their mind was so swept away, and they were beguiled as Eve was beguiled. If anybody preach another Jesus or another gospel, or you receive another spirit, he was giving enlightenment or alluding to the truth that they had believed other preachers, other men that had preached other things and what they had received from the apostle, and that they were in such a shape that they were living in open sin and fornication and maltreating the Lord's Supper in such a degree that they thought they was living okay. And so it's important tonight that we guard our minds, and especially things we watch and see. It's just very imperative tonight that we keep a mind that's focused on the Lord. As Peter said in his epistle, for us to gird up the loins of our mind, that our mind is the gate in which things enter and temptations enter in through the mind. If a temptation from the enemy comes into your mind, if you dwell on it to where it gets into your heart, there's enough breaks, you can stop it. You will sin. You will, if it ever gets in your heart, you will do wrong. You'll fail God. And so you must keep a guard on your mind. And so the church here, they're in trouble. And Paul is doing his best. He has a desire for them to walk in fullness, as we touched on last night. He has a desire for them to be presented unto God, unto Christ, as a chaste virgin. And that in itself was them living a life, walking in the Spirit of God, knowing that nothing that they could or ever perform or do in within themselves was absolutely zero. But that it must be focused around the Spirit of God. And there is one common denominator between every born-again believer worldwide, whether you're in China or you're in Iraq or you're in the Brazilian Amazon or you're here tonight up on the hill one more time. It is the Holy Ghost of God that is the bond, the glue of this whole thing. And so if we ever get in the shape to where we're trying to lead our own way, do our own thing without His direction, we'll find ourselves in a ditch real quick. One old preacher said, if you ever get in the ditch, he said, don't jerk it. You overcorrect and end up in another ditch. He said, just ease it back on the road. And I appreciate the good wisdom from the old mountaineers. It's a blessing, ain't it? But it is imperative tonight. It's amazing traveling around these eastern, southeastern states, what's considered the Bible Belt of our country, and how little it is to come into a service that is actually led of the Holy Ghost. You get into to more of the quote unquote fundamentalists. And I thank God for that. I would consider myself a fundamental Bible believer. I believe what the Bible says. But you can get to such a degree that you program God out. That's why in the last days He's pictured standing on the outside, knocking, wanting to get back on the inside. And so it's imperative that we do our best to be mindful, to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God. without the Holy Ghost actively moving in your service, sinners aren't going to get born again. It takes the working of the Holy Spirit to save a sinner. And for the preacher to be able to preach in liberty, it takes the moving of the Spirit of God. And so so it's imperative tonight that we have our hands off, and as we allow the Spirit of God to lead in every service and everything. Some folks say, we won't have an order to things.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that. But if God's a God of order, and if His Spirit's leading the way, looks like it will be decent and in order.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate the good Lord, don't you? And I'm glad that the roots that God has put in my life, raised me in, is the realness of God. I'm glad I didn't have to wait till I was in my upper 30s to have an experience of God, to know that He's real, to know that you can have an experience with God, and that it can be real. You can actually understand the realness of God and intimacy in prayer with the Father, and so I appreciate the Lord's grace in that area. Let's read together and understand by looking at this great soldier, the Apostle Paul. Help us tonight, Lord, as we see this man and his perception, the level on which he lives. Some writers have referred it to the deeper Christian life. But can I just submit to you tonight that the Apostle Paul was not writing anything of the sort. He was writing from a normal Christian life perspective. So it says a lot about us tonight. I think oftentimes we live way below the standard of what God has intended for us by simply living as Paul tries to bring this body of believers back to a simplistic day, to where they serve God in simplicity. And oftentimes we get to looking at this group, we look at that group, and we say, we got to do this, and things start coming in that's not from this book right here. And so we must guard our minds. Our mind is so quick to create beliefs that we in turn believe to be true, but it's very well possible it's a lie. The belief is so hard to change. Let me we'll just go this vein for just a minute. Y'all can be seated. We'll just go this vein right here for just a minute here. The belief in the mind of anybody, specifically a believer, is so hard to change. Once you believe something to be true, it's so hard to be told differently. That's why we have absolute truth, the Word of God. That's never changed. I tell them Indians down in Brazil, I said, go in there and open it up. Set it out there in the hut all by itself. Pick you out a verse. I said, and you look at the words real good now, real close. I said, you'll come back in the morning and see if anything's changed on it. And of course, they're coming from a society that is verbally passed down from generation to generation. And they're so twisted with lies and falsehoods and you can see Romans 1 come alive when they begin to say, you know, that they begin to worship certain animals and these animal spirits those barbaric people and those Gentiles worship the creation more than the Creator, and so the belief is something that must be dealt with. What we believe to be true, how do we know it's true? The belief that a human being has is a very strong thing in the mind. That's why people over in Iraq and Afghanistan and these places that are been raised in this cultist group of this Islamic cult and these ISIS people, that's why that they'll put a bomb on themselves and go blow themselves up because they believe it to be true. And so even though that we know that it's a lie, And so oftentimes I must, as a preacher, and I hope that we all do tonight, take what we believe about God and about Himself, about the workings of God, and pass it through this filter. And if it did not originate from this book, we must cast it out as a lie. And I want to be a Bible preacher. And I appreciate the Lord's grace. And I certainly want to walk in the light that God's given me and boldly declare the gospel. And so this church here in Corinthians, to give you a little bit of background about them, they was in such a shape because of what they believed, what they were hearing of the current day, the current preachers, the current gospel they was hearing, had them so twisted up. They thought it was okay to live in open fornication and still attend church and worship God. Now, my friend, we know that God is a holy God. And to be able to have communion with Him, to be able to worship with Him in spirit and in truth, that's where the whole key is. That's where the enemy attacks in such a way. The Holy Ghost of God oftentimes is offended, is grieved before the church doors are even open. You know, we look at that verse, you know, grieve not the Holy Spirit, grieve not the Holy Ghost. We look at it as if something inside the house. And it's true, it is something wonderful that we must be obedient in the Lord's house. But it's also a reflection of how we live out there. If we are obedient out yonder, we will come and be obedient in here. And so oftentimes the Holy Ghost is offended and grieved before church even starts.
Right.
On Monday, on Tuesday, when He's prompted us to go and follow His Spirit, and maybe in witnessing, or maybe in doing something of a good deed to someone, or even in prayer, or whatever the case may be, but following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We know that that the Scripture tells us over in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, he says in the latter part of verse number 9, he says, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." He goes on and says in verse 14, he says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And so it's a direct reflection that I've been born again by the grace of God. I've been adopted to the family of God by simply being obedient and being led by the Holy Spirit of God. And so it's imperative that we come to the house of God with our heart already right with God and already in tune with the Lord, so that when the service begins, we're following His leadership.
Yeah.
And we're desiring what He wants in the meeting. We're desiring what God wants done.
How deep the Father's love for us! How vast beyond all measure that He should give His only Son to make us.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning into our broadcast today. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina, 28904. Thank you for making our ministry a matter of continued prayer.